fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from memories, nothing more than memories. Who sings that anyway? I don't remember. Which is ironic that I don't remember the person who sang memories. That's not ironic, actually.
But actually, this is Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Very good. Hello, everybody. My name is Travis.
Hello, everybody. My name is Brandon, and welcome to the show. If you're just tuning in, Brandon is like 50 minutes late of what you usually record.
if you're just tuning in, for those of you that have been with us for a while, thank you. But if you're just joining us, thank you so much. My name is Travis. He is Brandon, and this is Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast, where we are going week to week, reviewing Rick and Morty, the anime, that is on Adult Swim. If you want to keep up with us and everything that we're doing, you can follow us on the social internets. You'll find us on X at Rick and Morty Pod, on Facebook at facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast, on Instagram, Rick and Morty Podcast, and you can send us emails at rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. We are on the Rick and Morty subreddit. Some conversation, I feel like there's not as much conversation on the Rick and Morty subreddit, rickandmorty.reddit.com, about the anime. I don't know. What do you think?
There's not a ton of conversation happening about it.
They have their own subreddit, right?
They do. We can kind of hypothesize why that is, but let's not do it here. We got a whole show to do.
Because we still have to talk about, if you want to get video versions of the podcast, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And if you want to support our podcast, you can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can get a very special bonus video clip this week that explains a little bit why Brandon is late recording this new episode. So big thanks to all the patrons.
I'm so glad you recorded that somehow. You son of a bitch.
Quick on the old clicking buttons thing. new computer. Who dis? How you doing, Brandon? Do you feel different? Is the interface different on the new computer? I don't know what's happening.
It's a little bit different. New Mac. Who dis? What I've noticed is everything's much quicker on a new computer. So starting up our Reaper, which is what we use to record, much quicker on the quick take.
So fast. Yeah. Much speed. Well, congrats on being Scrooge McDuck and swimming in piles of money. And welcome back, everybody, to this episode. We do have some things to discuss, so we might as well get right into it in the segment we like to call Semi-Pertinent News.
Oh, Semi-Pertinent. Semi-Pertinent. Barrett is dead. Barrett!
The audio listener is going to be like, was his microphone cutting out during the intro there?
That's how I always do my intros.
It's called art.
I'm the Banksy of professional
improvised
intros.
Intro music. Of improvised a cappella intro songs.
I'm sorry. If you want to know really why I botched that so badly, it's because I noticed that Travis wasn't recording on my side of the audio and I was trying to fix it. New computer, who dis? But the good news is Travis records his own local audio and I figured out how to capture his audio while I was going through that scat. So, Travis, what do we got?
We actually have a press release from our good friends at Adult Swim. that are sharing a new anime, you know, like very semi-pertinent, very anime-pertinent news. But there's a new anime that is premiering Saturday, September 28th at 12:30 a.m. Eastern and Pacific on Adult Swim. It's called Uzumaki. And this is a series. We saw a trailer for it, like a teaser, when we were out at San Diego Comic-Con, the night of New at the Adult Swim Pirate Party. And they showed a little bit of this trailer. Very creepy looking, very it's like an all black and white kind of I don't know. It's based on a manga, a Japanese manga from I think like the 90s. But I don't know. Do you remember this? Like there was a bunch of spirals in it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was all, really like
it was trippy. It was it was all black and white. It was kind of spooky, like spooky.
Super spooky. yeah, like honestly, it creeped me out a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. Is real creepy. And so this is based off of a horror manga. I looked up some information on it. It was the series tells the story of citizens of Kurozucho. I'm sorry. It's a fictional town which is plagued by a supernatural curse involving spirals.
Wait, it's a fictional town, so you don't have to get the pronunciation right? Is that what you're saying?
I said it right.
I can't say it. It's a fictional town, all right?
Yeah, don't get real. It's not even real, guys.
Yeah, you guys are the ones who bitch about the movie calling him Ong instead of Aang. Look, he's Aang based off the original Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, it artistic license, guys. looking at the official series description, let's leave this town together. As Suishi Saito, a former classmate of Kiri Goshima, a high school girl who was born and grew up in Kurozucho. I totally nailed all of those pronunciations. Everything from a strange whirlwind blowing smoke from the crematorium and the residents is turning into spirals. People's eyes spin in whirls, a tongue spirals, and the bodies twist unnaturally. In an attempt to escape the curse of the spirals, Kiri decides to flee from Kurozucho, or Cho. Probably Cho. But can she get away from this turmoil? Tune in. Tune in September 28th at 12:30.
It's right around the corner, man.
Find out. Yeah, it's coming up. I included the YouTube link to the trailer in the show notes. If you're into like horror, like kind of like graphic, like suspenseful type stuff, this might be right up your alley. It looks really creepy. So if that's your thing, creepy anime, if that's your bag, then check it out on Adult Swim. It's also gonna be on Max, I think, the next day, in both English and Japanese versions.
Well, all right. Thank you, Travis, for that. Since we're talking anime, shout out to Terminator Zero on Netflix, which is, you know, it's semi pertinent because it is anime related.
Did you finish the whole series already?
No. We're me and the family are watching it one episode at a time for dinner, and it's pretty good.
I haven't eaten dinner since last week, so it's slow going.
Yeah, I am starving. Okay. Anyways, let's get into our favorite time of the week, everybody. It's the Reddit post. It's the Reddit post of the week. This Reddit post of the week is brought to you by Downvote Me Gently. And the subject title for this is one of my favorite Rick rants. And the picture is when Jerry and Rick are in the Whirly Dirly conspiracy, and Rick is telling Jerry, "You're a predator. You call me an asshole. Like you're a predator. You took my daughter away. You had sex with my daughter," or something like that. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
5,400 upvotes. Great job, Downvote Me Gently. I didn't even look at the downvotes. I don't know if I can. Doesn't matter. But as long as you do it gently, they're okay with it.
Yeah. All right. Congrats. That's the Reddit post of the week. If you see something awesome on Reddit, Let us know if you see an awesome news story that is in any way pertinent to Rick and Morty or Adult Swim. Give us a shout. Send it to any of the social media links or our email, and we may cover it on a future episode. All right. When we come back, we will be diving right in to our review of the fourth episode of Rick and Morty the anime. So stick around and we will be right back.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And it is now time for Brandon, who is very set up with his new computer and all of the settings. Hopefully all of the recordings are happening and he will in no way be distracted as we get into our next segment that we like to call the main thing.
Do you remember the main thing in the 21st of September? I went Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's good. It's a good choice. I would say 2 weeks from now it would have been a more timely choice.
But yeah.
But you know, this is fine.
But
it is September.
But what
it
can
is
you
September.
Do? What can you do? What can you do?
You can go back to that same crux 2 weeks from now is what you can do.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna open the show up like that.
This is good. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We, of course, are talking about Rick and Morty, the anime. This episode, season one, episode 4, Memories is the name of this episode. It aired on September 5th, 2024, written and directed by Takashi Sano. Bronopsis, IDK, bruh. I wrote that before I rewatched the episode. So I was, and honestly, as I put my notes together for this episode, it kind of is like all over the place. So I guess in an improvised Bronopsis, I would say, finding out more about that girl in this one, bruh. Is she the good guy or the bad guy, bruh? Question mark. Yeah, that's my Bronopsis. I don't know what you think about this episode, Brandon.
Well, this is where we're going to take a pause and I'm going to go watch it and then, get back to you.
You assured me you'd seen this episode, Brent.
I'm just Josh in your chain. yeah. So,
all the current references for the Gen Alphas.
What was it? It was Sunday. It was Sunday, so yesterday.
Sounds like a day that happened recently.
Here's how my Sunday went, Travis. I woke up and I was like,
"It's a good start.
I should probably get Sunday ticket, because I want to watch the Dolphins and I don't want to pirate it because I am a good citizen."
You wouldn't steal a car. You wouldn't download a football team.
No, I wouldn't. And I didn't. So then I watched football all morning long. And then by the time football was like almost done, I was like, I just wasted so much of my Sunday. And I felt a little like I felt guilty. And I was like, I should have been productive this entire time. And then when I got into that mode of I should be productive, all of a sudden I'm like, well, now I don't want to do anything. I know I want to do something, but I don't want to do anything. There's so many things I want to do, and now I don't have time enough because I wasted it all. And so what I did was I came in here, I played some drums for a little bit. I didn't even want to do that, but I forced myself to do it. I said, get active, Brandon, get active. And I did it. I played some drums. I played my Steely Dan playlist. I was doing some shuffling. I'm like, okay, fuck. Okay, let's watch this episode. Because I didn't want to watch the episode. I was like, that was another thing. I was like,
you felt like you were, you had relaxed all day. You didn't and watching the show felt like more relaxation. You needed to be productive and play Steely Dan on the drums.
Yes. Thank you. But
yeah, it makes perfect sense.
But even though,
And thank you for that app synopsis of the episode. I do appreciate it.
So let me now tell you about what I thought of the episode. So I laid down in my bed and I put on Max on my TV, and Chelsea, my wife, she had a pile of clothes on the bed, and I wrapped my body around the clothes so I can lay down on the bed, but I didn't want to move the clothes because like that would be too productive. And then my Chihuahua, she loves, we call it toasty clothes, right? It's like clothes that are like fresh out of the dryer.
Yeah.
Camila loves them toasty clothes.
What dog doesn't?
Right. So not only am I now laying down around this pile of clothes, I'm also laying down around the dog because I don't want to disturb the dog, right? Yeah. So I open up Max, I put on some English subs, and I started watching this episode. And let me tell you what I thought about this episode. What I thought about the episode. The one thing I really noticed about this episode, and I sent it to you in chat, was when this episode is edited better, for me, better, right?
Yeah.
Better is subjective. When it's edited better, it is a better show. I kind of looked at this episode of like, okay, it's confusing, but there are like little glimpses of why they're making a switch here, why they're making a scene transition here, even though it still kind of jumps around here and there. Like one character might look to the right of the screen for a brief moment, and then your eye on the next scene is already kind of in that space where that person is looking. And that's an editing thing. Those are things, the subconscious things you don't notice when there's editing. There's whole videos about it. I recommend checking them out. That's kind of what I got from this episode, was I enjoyed it more. It didn't seem so chaotic. It seemed to have a
thread. I think for me in this episode, it was the turning point for me where I think like the premise of this first four episode arc of the show has really come into focus for me, where there was so much jumping around, jumping between different Ricks, jumping between different Ricks timelines and dimensions and things like that. And all along since the premiere, we've had this idea of the time bomb and how that is messing with time. And then this map of all the red dots of all the different Ricks and how the Ricks are sort of intermingled and mixed up. And I think the way that they handled that in this episode, where opening with Rick hanging out in a karaoke bar with a couple of random people and talking about how, I'd have a grandson too if my daughter hadn't died, you know, when as a kid or something like that. And then just like taking off and talking about, this isn't my timeline. This, like, is this Rick really so depressed that this is how I'm going to end up? And then it jumping to another Rick and talking about how that Rick's not in their normal space, and realizing that so much of this series so far has been a bunch of Ricks out of their own time, right? Being just kind of mixed across this multiverse and dealing with that, kind of trying to figure out who they are in this timeline or where they belong. And then ultimately kind of peeling a layer back to show what may be the cause of that ultimately over the course of this episode, to me, gave a little bit of resolution. Even if it opens up another question, that resolution connected an arc for me that was like, okay, this is the story arc that I've been hoping for across these four episodes.
Yeah. And I think what my concern is so Takashi Sano, he he made the show that he wants to make. This is the show he wants to make. And I respect that. What I think I would have liked, but the concern is I don't think the viewership may have kept up with it as long as if it was presented in a different way.
Agreed.
So again, we talked about last week, having that through line, that thematic, like something to like ground us into, like, this is kind of what the story is. When it's like showing a clip show for stuff that we've never seen before in the first episode, second episode. And then all of a sudden now in episode four, we're getting some like, oh, okay, here is some coherence of what's going on. You know, like I think some people have been lost so far from what may become like a really, really good series by the end of it.
And I'm still holding out hope that as a series or as a season, in a more bingeable format, I think there is promise for this that answers a lot of the questions or challenges that we've had with the series so far in terms of that jumping back and forth. That, I mean, we go back to the first episode, even to a certain degree, the second episode, where we're like, what is happening? Like, why is this happening? There didn't feel like there was a why. It was just introducing concepts and even like in this fourth episode, there's aspects of it where I'm like, why was that relevant, or why did that have to happen? The idea of Summer grabbing Morty and she's all armored up, running off with Space Beth, ditching other Beth back on with Jerry to go out and go rescue Rick in a series of events that ultimately ended up them not doing anything to rescue Rick and Elle just kind of rescuing him and bringing them back together. It feels like the only reason they were there is so that Morty could recognize Elle and say, hey, it's Elle. And then like bring them all back together, but all of those other things that led to that felt like, I don't know why this is, I don't know, in terms of like an economy of storytelling and stuff like that. I was just like, I don't know what those added to that part. Yeah. Right. But all of that to say, the different scenes of Rick, the different storylines, like these four episodes have built more or less a cohesive version of Morty and Rick's timeline, where Rick develops some sort of what does he call it? A defense force or what does he call it?
Yeah, a defiance.
And so he's built that. Morty witnesses it and is like, I want to be a part of that. He puts a suit together, kind of personifies himself as Space Morty. And then with Elle rescuing them from whatever alien stomach they were stuck in, meets Elle, starts this relationship. Then we kind of flash back to episode two, where they're with this fighting force. They liberate that planet that was being attacked. He becomes famous on that planet. Then he becomes wanted. There's a bounty out for Space Morty. That bounces back to this episode where we see the wanted poster again for Space Morty. He signs it SM, right? Which means, what is it? Selective numbering or something? All right. That's right. Yeah. Like, when you look at all four episodes together, it's like, okay, we're starting to get like a cohesive thing. But when you're sitting back at episodes one or two, time is confusing and time doesn't make sense. I think this whole puzzle of the plot is developing over the course. The problem is we're having to wait 7 days between episodes to kind of get more clues as to what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this episode really highlights kind of the point we made last week about this very thing, right? The water cooler discussion of like, oh, what's going on? Yeah. And I agree. I don't know if I disagree with the sentiment about like, oh, these shows are made to binge watch. Some shows are better. But this one is like, this one should stay together, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I think of like episodes of cartoons or shows, I think of Futurama, they made episodes that went together, but they were, you know, and then they're like Bender's Big Payday and stuff like that, where it's like really just to be continued, but there are four episodes in a row that are like, you know, that those episodes are together and there's still something to be told, but then they release them as a DVD and say Bender's Big Score. This, it feels like they should have released at least two episodes at the start.
No.
I think they should release them together. Right. And we don't know what the rest of the episodes look like, of course. But yeah, I think that, you know, that probably could have stemmed some, drop off, but
yeah. And again, like to talk about this episode specifically, we've been introduced to L and the idea of this character little by little throughout these four episodes. The last episode kind of spending the most time talking about who she is, what her abilities are as an alien that can perceive the future just as easily as the past. And now, as the show has been jumping through time and dealing with all this like weird time slipping, we have a revelation where Rick's wrestling with this time bomb and whether or not he should use it or what, like, the, is it worth having? Should he get rid of it? There's conversations with Elle and Rick where she talks about like, he just has to validate her existence, which stood out to me as like it caught my ear. And then the next thing he does is he asks her whether or not he should just throw the time bomb away and then everything will like make sense again. He immediately teleports to like a desert where he like casts it away. And then he says something, he kind of like screams out, I wish someone would just explain this to me, right? It's a moment where Rick is not the smartest person, or even if he is the smartest person, he doesn't have the answer to this question, right? We're used to a Rick that always knows the answers, is 1 to 3 steps ahead of whatever the situation is. And he's just like, what the heck is happening? Like, why is this acting the way that it is?
To me, that moment was one of the rare moments in the series where it's a meta thing where,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, He is us, and he's saying, somebody just explain this to me, right? Four episodes in, yeah. Someone just explain this to me. So yeah, that was interesting. That was interesting that he was experiencing this time slipping, experiencing long-haired Rick's experience. One of the things I wanted to bring up about long-haired Rick, and it's kind of a theme that we've touched on in the main series a little bit, where Rick doesn't care. He's just using Morty as a tool throughout the series. And then you start to see that he actually does care about his grandkids. He does care about his family. Right. And Bird Person's apartment, there's a baby Morty, right there. He carries a picture of Morty in his wallet. And in Long-Haired Rick, when Space Morty is saying like, I just want to work with L, like I'm doing this, I'm good at this, I'm going to be part of the Defiance, and you know, Long-Haired Rick's like, okay, whatever, you know, I don't care what you do, but he does care what Morty does.
Yeah.
He wants to spend time with his grandson, and
it like flashes back to all these pictures of images of baby Morty and Morty growing up and fondling Golden Fold for some reason.
That's from the series premiere, right? The pilot.
I remember the image.
Okay.
I just the fact that was included in his memory bank, I think, is an interesting creative choice.
He's like spying on Morty groping Goldenfold.
It's not my fault he's doing this. Few more minutes, I'm gonna get mad. He does have that sentiment of like, maybe when he's done with her, he'll come back to me or something like that, right?
Uh-huh. He has to come back eventually, right?
Yeah. And it's an interesting kind of folding of time and timelines and sort of how this is all played out, ultimately ending up in a scenario where the same Rick that we saw at the beginning that was kind of tanning in some sort of nebula or something is kind of lost out in space at the end of his rope. There's a glowing light in front of him and it's L. And he kind of says, like, are you the orchestrator of all this stuff? Like, is this all you're doing? Which brings up an interesting question to me. And I kind of want to figure out where you land on this. All the time stuff, everything that's going on, if all of this is L's doing, why is she doing it? What is her reasoning? And do you think it is for good, or is it some nefarious purpose?
I don't want to assume it's nefarious.
Okay. Because everybody that's ever manipulated Rick has always done it for the best reasons.
So I'm going to go for a 2001 deep cut of, I think Donner. No, not Donner. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Donnie Darko, right? Okay.
I thought you were talking about 2001, A Space Odyssey, and you're going to break out some Kubrick on us.
You're
going back to a film from the year 2001.
Yeah, that's right. Richard Kelly. Richard Kelly directed it. Was with Jake Gyllenhaal, however you want to say that.
Gyllenhaal.
And Maggie Gyllenhaal is also in there.
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore, yeah. Patrick Swayze,
yeah.
Gretchen
Give
Ross.
Give Taylor Swift her scarf back. That's a reference for all the Swifties.
That's a weird thing. Anyway, so Donnie Darko, right? The movie came out in 2001. I love this movie. It was on Joe Bob Briggs a couple weeks back. Doesn't matter. But the whole it is a kind of weird, kind of complicated movie. It's pretentious. I love it. But it's about time travel. And in the movie, the character of Donnie Darko, the whole purpose that he is there to do is set things right. So there's like a rip in time that, like, there's a paradox, and his whole purpose throughout the whole movie is to make the paradox happen. His goal is to make that thing happen so that the beginning of the movie happens and then everything's okay. To me, that's my prediction, is that yes, she is setting things in motion because her species sees the beginning and they know the end. In order to know in order to get to the end, you have to orchestrate stuff sometimes and manipulate. So
yeah, I could totally see that. I think that would be really cool. I think for me, there's a question: is she in it for an actual meaningful relationship with Morty, or is Morty's affection for her a side effect of her trying to pull the strings in some sort of, whether it's the Donnie Darko-esque fix a paradox, create a paradox type situation, you know, or some other thing that she's doing as a time cop, right? Or is there actually some sort of relationship budding between the two of them?
This is more of a philosophical thing, but if you know the beginning and you know the end, does it allow you to be selfish or self-serving at all?
I don't know. Can you serve yourself? Do you have free will, period? If you know what's going to happen, and are you tied to that outcome, right? We talked a little bit about that last week, but like, yeah, can you be selfish if you know what's going to happen? And if you subscribe to that outcome,
or are you just a tool of fate? It's a good question, Travis. I'm glad you asked it.
You're welcome.
If we look at Terminator Zero, I'd ask some of these same questions.
Get out here with that Terminator stuff. I am curious, and I will be tuning in next week to find out if this is not necessarily a conclusion, but sort of closes a chapter on some of this time jumping stuff. And now we have the setup in this episode of Jerry being a loner, baking a space cake, digging through Rick's stuff in the garage, and then opening some sort of cabinet and vanishing at the end of the post-credit scene of this episode. Mm-hmm. Does this turn a corner for the series where we get maybe like a Jerry-esque adventure? I think there's some previews, some teases for Jerry being involved in some other things in an upcoming episode. So does the show continue in the same structure, or do you think that there may be some sort of change to the series moving forward?
Well, I think my first question for you is, are you suggesting that in the post credits, when Jerry goes missing, he disappears with that glow of light? That's why the family doesn't notice him and why he's not in the picture? Or
I think it's both. Like, I think they don't notice him in the picture because
it's like Back to the Future. He disappeared, so no one remembers him.
No, I didn't. I think they are just terrible people and forget Jerry exists.
Okay. All right, I just want to make sure.
I think it's really not like Rick typically to be like, hey, we're all together, let's take family photos. That just doesn't really seem to be like a Rick move mostly. But it happened, and the fact that they have Elle in the family pictures without even thinking twice about the fact that Jerry's missing is a bit of a Smith family move. But yeah, I think at some point they'll be like, wasn't Jerry around? And unless it is like you're saying, and there is some sort of time distortion with this, he doesn't exist. Like, Elle is filling that role in the family now or something. I don't know. Like, that could be a thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? Talk about it around your water coolers for the next 2 days.
That would be weird. So a couple points I want to make. I mean, they're not points, but they're just kind of topics of discussion. So we talk about reimagining, not a spin-off.
A new spin,
yes. One thing I noticed about this episode was when our Rick was going into, he's going through the memories. He's walking into a house where it's very traditional, kind of Japanese. I apologize.
Like an apartment type thing.
Like, yeah. Like the shoes to the side, like traditional footwear, and I was like, to me, that was that's not the same as our Rick C-137. Sure, he was in the memories of long-haired Rick, but there's still maybe this adds credence to the spinoff versus a new spin versus a spinoff.
Yeah, I read into that as just, this is yet another version of a Rick that lives this way, and he is embodying a Rick that lives in an apartment by a train station and hangs out at karaoke night with a couple other people. And he's because it seemed like that's what that Rick did until he kind of snaps out of it. And he's like, why am I here? Why am I, I need to leave. Like, so I don't know. I think Takashi Sano is coming up with these different versions of Rick that play out different lifestyles and different priorities, and shows Rick's kind of bouncing between those different realities.
Yeah, yeah. And the second thing I was going to say, I forgot. So I'm going
perfect.
To completely skip it until I interrupt you later with
I'll give you that one.
What I remember.
Give you that one. Well, I mean, that's for the most part sort of just my thoughts on this episode. And in terms of stacking up with the other ones, this is one of the ones I liked more. Brandon, you didn't happen to think of your point, did you, while I was talking?
Oh, no, I did. That's crazy.
Oh, weird.
So simpatico, where you can, like, you just get this sense about you. Definitely not any visual clues about me remembering.
Shout out to the viewers on YouTube.
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to mention was I don't remember in any of the earlier episodes because it's so chaotic, but is Morty actually in a relationship with Elle, or is he just infatuated with her the entire time? They're not in a relationship. He's just trying to hook up with her all the time as a 14-year-old boy does.
This is one of those things we don't know. He clearly is head over heels for her. I think there's an insinuation in the first episode when they're introduced to Elle and he like, or she approaches him and like embraces him.
In the different versions, right? Of him getting eaten by this worm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we thought that was all in VR. Right, which maybe it was. I'm going to be real transparent here. I don't know what was and wasn't VR and what was real and if all the VR was in fact real, but just in a different dimension. So, yeah, I don't know. I got the impression because of their interactions in the last episode where they're eating pickle hot dogs and going out to diners to shoot terrorists, like they had some sort of relationship happening, but is it mutual in terms of their affections?
Is he just a really good friend?
Oh yeah, is she gonna friend zone him?
is he friend fated with her? You know, we don't know.
I mean, it's Morty, so probably.
Well, how does that species, repopulate?
Do they?
Oh man. Oh, what if that species is just that one being just reincarnated like a Doctor Who? Who knows?
Who knows?
Not me.
Doctor Who knows. Certainly not.
Who are you? Who?
Other random thoughts. There's the whole side story. I guess it's like a flashback of Morty going undercover to liberate like a Federation prison. He's undercover in those kind of like faceless alien type masks, which I assume are not humans, but are fairly humanoid. And he goes and buys black market nuggets. Not with Szechuan sauce, but with a different sauce.
Yeah.
So, you know, throwback to season 3 there. And then topples a Federation. And Goldenfold is living underground there.
Yeah.
Like, was that supposed to be Earth? Is that a different Golden? Like, is Goldenfold interplanetary now? Travel?
Yeah, maybe Morty recruited him, you know? He's good at math. Like, maybe it's like an A-team situation where, like, every person has, like, a specific skill they're really good at. Goldenfold has math, and so they brought him on
living
board.
Below the surface.
Coprophagia.
And coprophagia. Yeah, the things he excels at.
One thing I've noticed with comedy, right, with the comedy aspect of the show, whenever they focus on the Federation, the Gromfelmites, that's where they are like, let's just do comedy here. So
yeah,
like
a little bit,
like the conversation between the two Gromfelmites before the invasion on the, of their ship. He's like, "What you? You know, I always go to your house. Why don't you? Oh no, you always come to my house. Why don't I ever go to your house? Like, what are you hiding from me?"
Yeah. There's always just these like benign kind of like relational spats between two Gromflemites before they're gonna get blown up. That's a reoccurring bit in the anime. So, I don't know. Generally, those are my thoughts. Interested to see if the show takes a turn in the next episode or if it continues to build on these concepts that we've seen so far. If you have thoughts about this episode or any of the episodes that we've seen so far, share them with us. We want to know what you think. Send us an email, leave a comment on this video over on YouTube, and we will cover them in an upcoming episode. Brandon, any listener suggestions or short outs you want to short out this week?
Hell yeah. Travis, I'm bringing to you our weekly, although we missed it last week, our weekly Brandon's friend from work, Jeff, has questions about the show he's never seen before until the anime. So Jeff asks these following questions, Travis.
Okay, I'm ready.
One.
I'm here for you, Jeff.
Beth clones acknowledged each other. Isn't that part of the base show? Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Totally is. Yep. A lot of this show is based on the base show.
Yeah. A great answer. I'm going to throw that in his face tomorrow. Galactic Federation feels very anime specific. It's not a question, but it's not.
Mm. No, get back in those early seasons 1 through 4, bro.
Yeah. Go back to the pilot, Jeff, you idiot. All right. Why is Jerry both unloved and an idiot?
He's just drawn that way. I don't know. Everybody hates on Jerry.
But
he's just not appreciated.
That's right. We're all Jerry's.
Just not appreciated.
We're all Jerry's in our own way, you know?
So many of us are Jerry's.
And then finally,
doing our beekeeping and hosting podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. So this is his theory. This whole thing is a VR simulation, and the VR simulations are just Inception-esque.
Interesting. I think you're wrong, Jeff. But thanks. Thanks for talking.
This is how I hang out with him at work.
I can't wait to meet Jeff one day.
He is big. He's bigger than Sizemore. Yeah.
Mountain of a man.
He's like John Henry, just using that sledgehammer all over.
Regular
place.
Paul Bunyan.
Anyways, thanks, Jeff. Thank you for
thanks, Jeff.
Brandon's
thanks,
friend
Jeff.
From work has questions minute.
If I had friends from work, we would talk to them. I just don't. So I think that is going to do it for this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. If you're new here, please like, subscribe, do all the things, leave a comment. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a rating or a review on your podcatcher. If you're listening to the audio version, really helps others to find the episodes. And we're what? Almost halfway. Fifth episode coming out next week.
Woo!
And we'll be back to cover that. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.